What began with a baby born in Bethlehem has grown into a body of believers that makes up one-third of the world's population. But Christianity didn't grow overnight, and our mission to spread Christ's message of salvation is far from over as well. This year, help us reach out to people all around the world with the saving truth of Orthodoxy by making a donation. Your gift allows us to offer teaching programs, traditional and contemporary music, and practical advice for living your faith through the daily struggles. You can give online or call 954-522-5567. Thank you. This week on Come Receive the Light, we're going to explore the impact these winter months can have on our emotional well-being, with their shorter and often overcast days giving us less sunshine.
In fact, scientists have studied the effects of sunlight on mental health, and what they find is that direct exposure of sunlight through the eyes increases the levels of serotonin in our brains. Now, serotonin is the neurotransmitter that is associated with mood. So without enough sunlight, a person's serotonin levels can drop and create a dip in mood as well. On the flip side, a decrease in sunlight can also produce an increase in melatonin. This is the hormone that can make us feel sleepy and fatigued. But too much melatonin can exacerbate an already sad mood and make it worse.
I wonder what the scientist would say about the sound of a ukulele taking us in our minds to where the tropical breezes blow and the sun shines on the ocean, the warm sand, and me. I can go there in my mind very easily. Welcome to another edition of our broadcast with me, Mike Trout, and our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, the founder of the Orthodox Christian Network and the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology. Today we have a guest host, Father Gregory Joyce, the rector of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in the greater Detroit area. Come Receive the Light is a part of the Orthodox Christian Network, and we're on the web at myocn.net. You very well may be there right now. We're also all over social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Let us know you're listening and check out the many ways in which you can become involved. Again, the website is myocn.net. We're a nonprofit ministry, and your financial involvement would be a big help. There's an understatement, especially here at the end of the year. When you hit the donate button on our website, you'll find some pretty interesting ways to join the team financially. That's myocn.net. And now with our feature conversation with a guest who has become somewhat of a regular on Come Receive the Light, especially at this time of year, is Father Gregory Joyce.
The Christmas and Epiphany season is known as the Holiday of Lights because it is when we celebrate Jesus' birth, as Jesus is the light of the world. In the Northern Hemisphere, these great feasts coincide with the natural increase in daylight hours. This is hope for many who struggle through the dark winter months. With us today to talk about effects of limited daylight and seasonal depression is Dr. Randa Anderson. Dr. Randa is a licensed clinical psychologist and a member of OCCI, the Orthodox Christian Counseling Institute. Welcome, Randa.
Thank you, Father. Glad to be here.
Really glad you can be here with us today. Many of our listeners have noticed that daylight influences mental health. Can you explain why?
Sure. Well, your listeners are astute in their observations. Intuitively, it's true. We know that when it's bright and sunny out, we're more likely to feel cheerful and upbeat. We want to go outside and be active. But many consecutive days of cloudy, dark skies, and our mood can get gloomy, too. In fact, scientists have studied the effects of sunlight on mental health, and what they find is that direct exposure of sunlight through the eyes increases the levels of serotonin in our brains. Now, serotonin is the neurotransmitter that is associated with mood. So without enough sunlight, a person's serotonin levels can drop and create a dip in mood as well. On the flip side, a decrease in sunlight can also produce an increase in melatonin. This is the hormone that can make us feel sleepy and fatigued. So too much melatonin can exacerbate an already sad mood and make it worse. Now, these physiological changes can explain what we sometimes call the winter blues. But when a person's symptoms are severe, they might actually have major depression with a seasonal pattern, which is popularly known as seasonal affective disorder. This is a type of depression that lasts for a season, usually the winter months, and goes away during the rest of the year. People with seasonal depression often experience symptoms like loss of pleasure and energy, pervasively sad mood, uncontrollable urges to eat more starches and sweets, fatigue, and excessive sleeping. These symptoms occur only during a particular season and remit with a change in the seasons. And seasonal depression is more than just the winter blues because it causes a disruption in one's daily functioning for an extended period of time. Again, usually it's the winter months. For example, a person with seasonal depression may miss work frequently or become irritable with their spouse and so experience conflict in their relationships. With the winter blues, people might feel a little fatigued and unmotivated, but they're still able to go about their obligations.
So that when you have seasonal affective disorder, it's something serious, and it, just being a little slow is not necessarily that.
Correct. Serious.
Good. You said something about food, which I think is really quite important. Well, whether it should be or not, it really doesn't matter because people are often very focused on their stomachs from a spiritual point of view. So you're saying that when folks are suffering in this way, that they're more likely to eat foods that would cause weight gain?
Yes. Heavier foods, comfort foods, really. They think they're comforting themselves with food, but actually it makes it worse because heavy foods can cause sluggishness, and make you already feel worse than you already do.
Right, and this is a time actually when, by and large, we're usually avoiding those foods due to the Advent fast. So hopefully that will provide people even more motivation to seek help if they think that they have this problem.
Right.
Besides the lack of light, why else is depression more prevalent during the winter months?
Well, there are many reasons why people get the winter blues, including people tend to get less exercise during the winter months, especially if they prefer to exercise outside and they live where it's cold and snowy. I've actually said it here on Come Receive the Light several times before, and that's that regular exercise can improve mood. While the lack of exercise can contribute to the feeling of lack of motivation and sluggishness that might naturally come in the dark months of winter. Another reason for the winter blues is that people tend to socialize less when the weather is bad, especially if getting around town is a challenge. And social isolation can lead to feelings of depression as well. And like we were just saying, eating more comfort foods is another reason people can feel worse. In the winter, we're cooking heavier foods like stews and casseroles instead of lighter foods of summer, such as grilled vegetables or fresh fruit. You mentioned fasting during the Advent. I hope people do fast during Advent because it does help physically and psychologically as well as spiritually. Unfortunately, many people do go to parties and such during the holiday season, and they end up eating things that are not good for them on a variety of levels.
Right, and usually don't fit the fast. So there's a great
excuse to
not have to participate. I mean, to partake in those particular foods. So this is great. Right. I think we're solving a lot of problems here today.
Yeah, I think the Church Fathers knew what they were talking about in terms of mental health as well as physical. Spiritual health, for sure.
Isn't it funny how that seems to so often align? And I think our listeners, if they think about their own lives, they'll see that, you know, these things often all come together very nicely.
They do.
So do you think that the holidays, we were just talking about the holidays, and we have this interesting way of celebrating nativity in the West before the feast and then doing nothing, whereas as Orthodox, we generally sort of are preparing and then we have all of our celebration afterwards. Do you think that the holidays can make this worse, these winter blues or seasonal affective disorder worse?
Unfortunately, I think it can for some people for a few different reasons. First of all, if you're already experiencing financial stress, then the holidays can cause feelings of guilt and sadness over not being able to spend as much as you'd like on gifts or travel. You know, also the holidays can remind us of a loved one who's deceased and no longer there to celebrate with us. And so, of course, that can contribute to the blues. Or maybe you live far from family and you're unable to travel to visit them because of work or cost. Or maybe you don't get along with some members of your extended family, and so the holidays bring past hurts right back up to the surface. And also, I think sometimes the holidays can make the blues worse if we have these high expectations for some sort of picture-perfect holiday, like in the movies, and if those don't get met, we feel down.
So there's a lot of traps, potential traps here. It sounds like we really need to approach this also spiritually and think about how we're going to celebrate or embrace the holidays.
Right.
Could the holidays also not make us feel better?
Well, of course they do. I don't mean to paint a dismal picture of the holidays by any means. You know, people often feel better around the holidays because of the many seasonal traditions we enjoy. Favorite Christmas carols or special family gatherings. You know, gifts can also be a source of joy when you find or make something special for someone else. People often volunteer their time and treasure during the holidays, and helping others contributes to happiness as well. Another aspect of the holidays that can boost people's mood is, in fact, all the decorative lights. You know, we're talking about light. It's not the same as summertime light, but the holiday lights give a certain cheer to our moods that isn't found during the rest of the winter season. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know I remember all that excitement of driving around our neighborhood to look at the lights at Christmas time. So I think that's definitely a joyful part of the holidays. And then, of course, if you're staying focused on the reason for the season, as they say, then there's a special joy in the birth of Christ when you really focus on his saving love for us. You know, there's that renewed sense of faith around Christmas that can happen, too.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, it can be good, and that's, I think, an important message that we want to give to people. So you talked about, especially after Christmas, because, you know, the lights have gone, and now we sort of have the winter humdrums. And what are some thoughts that you could share with our listeners about how to cope during that time?
Sure. You know, the list of things people can do to get through those winter humdrums is really not that different from what I'd suggest that you do to get through any episode of depression. I'm a big one on routine, and I believe very strongly that getting regular sleep and exercise is really important to mental health. Avoiding those comfort foods like we talked about, and instead making sure you're eating regular meals that are lighter and healthy. Really important to connect with other people as well. I think during the winter it can be easy to isolate yourself. You know, sometimes we hibernate, but making a concerted effort to be with people, or at least invite people over to be with you, is critical. Even just picking up the phone and calling a friend. Sometimes it helps to stop thinking about yourself and your mood, and instead focus on others less fortunate by volunteering your time. And then, of course, prayer and or meditation on a particular Bible verse is helpful to relieving our minds of depressing thoughts. Now, the one piece of advice I would give that is unique to winter is that I recommend that people get outside and get some sunlight. I mean, even a brief walk in the snow can be helpful. If it's a sunny day, bundle up and get outside. You know, it can really be invigorating to your mood.
I could not agree with you more. I'm from the very northern part of Michigan, and so winter is a big part of how I grew up. And I think this embracing it, you know, getting out there and walking and enjoying, and it seems to be very, very helpful.
Absolutely.
So that's great advice.
I'm also in a cold climate, and you know, I sometimes will see neighbors out walking their dogs, and I'll think, oh, I'm glad I don't have to do that. But at the same time, I think it's so healthy, and, you know, that would probably be a good time to have a dog, actually, get outside.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say that as a young person growing up in that kind of a climate, having the opportunity to go and shovel the walk of an older person who lives on the block, you know, that serves many purposes. You get an interior sort of intrinsic feeling of having done something good, but that also often gives that person an opportunity to engage with you, because oftentimes you'll be invited in for a cup of hot chocolate or something like that. That can serve a lot of these purposes that you're mentioning.
That's right, for the other person and yourself, without question.
Exactly. So Those are kind of the humdrums. But what about depression? What can people do if it's a depression, if it just gets too great to easily cope with?
Right. Well, you know, sometimes winter is really just exacerbating a depression that already exists. And in that case, seeing a therapist can be helpful. When you're feeling like you just can't resolve your depression yourself, a therapist can help you recognize your depression triggers and then develop ways to cope and resolve your problems. Working with a licensed therapist, you might together then also discuss the possibility that medication might be helpful. And your therapist can make a referral to a psychiatrist if absolutely necessary. Another possibility is phototherapy. This is an option if your depression is seasonal. You can buy a specialized light box that is designed to treat seasonal depression. Basically, you use it for 15 to 30 minutes in the morning when you wake up. It mimics the effects of a sunny sky, and it can boost your mood with regular use over a few weeks. Now, light boxes are considered safe and effective, and you can buy one without a prescription for, I think, somewhere around $100 or $200.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. But do people usually just sort of do that on their own, or do they usually do that having talked with a therapist first?
Yes. I mean, it can go either way. Many people have never heard of them before, so they might first learn about them from their therapist or even their regular physician might recommend them. That might be one way of learning about it. But, hey, we're talking about it now. There's really nothing stopping anyone from getting one online and using it as directed. And if it works, great. You know, seasonal depression is one of is a type of depression that pretty clearly has physical triggers. And if light helps remedy that, you know, all the better. If you're still not getting better with using the phototherapy, then by all means, you know, talk to your doctor, talk to a therapist. There may be other things going on that you really need to look at in order to get better.
Right. Good. Speaking of going to a therapist, so you're a member of the licensed clinical, the Orthodox Christian Counseling Institute, and I'm sure some of our listeners would really be interested in having an Orthodox Christian therapist. What would they? How could they find out more? How could they find an Orthodox Christian therapist in their area?
Oh, that's a challenge. you know, the Orthodox Christian Counseling Institute. Fairly unique. I don't know of other groups like ours. We are in Chicago. I probably get one or two emails a month from people in other parts of the country asking. There is an effort right now. I'll give a plug to someone I don't know very well, but there is a man named Adam Roberts who has started a website called OrthodoxCounselors.com, and what he's really trying to do is bring together therapists from all over the country to create a national directory. I'm not sure how much success he's had so far, to be perfectly honest. So with that, you know, if you're not able to find someone that way, you know, also just asking your parish priest, hopefully he has done his homework and has some names, if not for an Orthodox therapist, at least for a Christian therapist. You know, that's often, you know, a good place to start.
Right, and I'm really glad you mentioned the priest, because in my experience, 20 years as a priest, I found that it's important that the therapist and the priest are able to sort of, maybe not officially work together, but certainly be working in the same direction.
Right, right. And, you know, that's where an Orthodox therapist is helpful, because they understand the relationship between a priest or a spiritual father and, you know, an individual. So, you know, start there. You know, some people may not be comfortable, and, you know, a lot of people these days just go straight to the Internet, and so that's why I thought of the Orthodox counselors first.
Sure. So let's circle back. You had mentioned a couple questions back about meditating on a Bible verse, and I wonder if you have a favorite passage from the Bible that sort of addresses this.
Yeah, I actually have two. You know, in keeping with the discussion of light, I love Psalm 23, 7, verse 1, which is just simply, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's short and simple and a great reminder to meditate on. But when I'm working with clients, often one that I really like to share is one from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verse 8, because it reminds people to think about what's right in their lives. So that's the verse that goes, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things.
Yeah, I think that that's so important. And this is another good place maybe where a person could talk with their priest and ask his suggestion on some things. That priest, knowing that person, may be able to give them also a Bible passage that would be just right for them.
Right, exactly. Something that maybe is specific to what their concern is.
Exactly. Right. So are there any other books or resources that you could recommend on this topic?
Sure. There's a great book by Dr. Norman Rosenthal, who actually did much of the groundbreaking research on seasonal depression. And it's called Winter Blues, Everything You Need to Know to Beat Seasonal Affective Disorder. And then another just sort of general self-help book for depression and anxiety both is Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy, and that's by David Burns. And that's really a classic for understanding how what we think about can impact how we feel and how we behave.
Recently we've just again changed our clocks. For those listeners who are not in a country that changes their clocks in the fall and the spring, they may not really understand what that means. But we spring forward an hour in the spring, and we fall backward an hour in the fall. And I wonder, do you find that that has any impact here, or it's just strictly the amount of light, not when the light is shining?
You know, I think it's really more about the light than the time change. And that also has to do, we didn't talk too much about it, and I'm not an expert on it, to be perfectly honest, but, you know, the change in light impacts our circadian rhythms, which is basically our biological clock. So, yeah, when you talk about setting our clock back, there is an adjustment, but most people make that adjustment, you know, within a few days to a week. So I don't think that really makes quite the difference that the light itself does.
That's good to know. I think people may attribute more to the time change than really needs to be attributed to it, and to hear that from you, I think, is very helpful. Was there anything that you thought we should cover that we didn't?
No, but actually I really liked your point earlier about Advent that I don't think we talked enough about, because I do think that when we follow the church's cycles, it helps us through, you know, the natural cycles in life too. And I think when you are preparing for Christ's birth through fasting, through almsgiving, through increased prayer, it does help you keep that focus on Christ as the light. And, you know, hopefully that helps you get past whatever seasonal blues you might be experiencing as well.
I think that's really helpful. And one thing that I thought of as well is that, you know, the fathers say that if you want to increase your faith, serve others for the sake of Christ. Right?
Oh,
and
sure.
When you're serving, you're strengthening yourself. You're engaged in a ministry just as Christ asked us to be. But you're also interacting with people. It's pretty hard to serve people without interacting with them. And that also, I think, based on what you've said today, would be very helpful for people.
Exactly. I actually do make that recommendation to clients who are struggling with depression, seasonal or otherwise, when they start to get kind of stuck and really are having a hard time moving past whatever their issue is that they're focusing on in therapy. I will often say, you know what, just take a break from all this. Go work in a soup kitchen. Go volunteer your time for a cause that you can get really excited about, because it really helps. Yes, the social interaction for sure is helpful, but it's also helpful to recognize that it's not just all about your problems, there are other people suffering too, and when you serve them, it definitely helps you take your mind off your own worries as well.
That is very helpful to hear from you, and you know, I think it's going to be helpful for our listeners, but, well, honestly, I think it's also going to be helpful for the clergy, because we don't get a lot of this kind of training in seminary, yet these are the things that often come out first in confession. And to be able to have a few things like that that we can use to sort of help people maybe to not go down that path if they don't have to, but rather to deviate into a brighter, better place, I think that's really useful. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, if I could say something that's helpful to you in your ministry, that makes me very happy.
Dr. Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we have used the theme that you hear in the background to close out most of our broadcasts for a number of years now. It's called Morning Light. That seems so appropriate for this program, and it is performed by and was written by one of our team members, Roger Hunt. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. We're on the web at myocn.net. You can also find us all over social media, and don't forget that you are the best promotional tool we have. Please do share the fact that we're on the air and direct your friends to Come Receive the Light and the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and special thanks to Father Gregory Joyce for sitting in the host chair, and special thanks as well to our executive producer, Presbytera Vasi Haros. We'll be back next week with another edition of Come Receive the Light. I hope you can join us as well. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.